Well, praise the Lord. God is good. Hi, this is Mick Hoff at New Life Church in Rochester, Indiana. I'd like to speak to you today about the words of our mouths. The name of this message is Change Your Words, Change Your Life. You know, everything that we've been given in this life, we are to be good stewards over. Our mouths and words are high on this list. We as humans, we're a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And we live in a body. When we get born again, which has received Jesus as the Savior and Lord of our lives, our spirit is made alive and new, born again. Our soul and body still need a lot of help. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We do this with the Word of God. By daily reading and studying God's Word, we replace wrong thoughts and thinking with God's thoughts and way of thinking. By changing our thinking to be more like God's, it will help us to choose our words better, which can help us make everything better. It will help us to submit to God and present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Romans 12:1 says to do. With continual growth, this will help us to give our souls and bodies as vessels of service through our spirit where the Holy Spirit lives, allowing Jesus to rule in his kingdom there inside us. As the Word of God says, the kingdom of God is within you. You know, the king ought to be able to reign in his kingdom, shouldn't he? Now that we're getting this dynamo lined up, we need to feed it the right fuel. You know, people put the right fuel in jet airplanes and they make them fly fast and high. If you put the right fuel in your car, it'll make it run like it's supposed to. So the right fuel for us to feed into our hearts is the Word of God. When we plant the right words, His Word, in our hearts put out a spiritual force called faith. And as the Bible says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Psalm 37:30 says, "The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom." There are people, a lot of times, who have trouble in their lives and problems that they don't understand why, but it's because of the words that they've been saying. Like what someone once said, if you don't like what's going on in your life, quit saying what you've been saying. If you change your words, you can change your life. God said in Deuteronomy 30:19-20, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." Here he gives us the choice and even gives us the right answer to choose. Then he says in Proverbs 18:20-21, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Here he tells us how we make that choice, and that's with our words. As we see in these scriptures, there's a lot of power in our words, death and life. When we're trustworthy with our mouths and growing up in faith, then God can turn the Holy Spirit power up on us. Just as you don't just give your 7-year-old child a machine gun and tell him to go out and be careful with it, God can't allow his full power on us till we're mature and trustworthy. Maybe you can start your 7-year-old out with a little rubber-tipped dart gun and a target, and as he progresses, you can move him up to a BB gun, then later on, a little more progression up to a pellet gun. And as he grows, matures, and is trustworthy, you can move him up to what you desire him to have, maybe a gun like yours so you can go out hunting together. Family time is a wonderful thing. So it's the same with God and us. As we grow up, mature, and are trustworthy, then he can turn up the power on us. We need to choose the right words. Now, the Bible says in Colossians 2:15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So we see that the devil was left powerless when Jesus went to hell after the crucifixion and defeated him. Since Jesus stripped him of his power, the only thing he could do now is try to deceive people, if they'll let him. 2 Corinthians 2:11b says, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." So let's stay that way. One of the biggest deceptions that the enemy has is to get the people to speak his words instead of God's words, thus using the power of their mouths against themselves. Somehow through all these years gone by, the enemy has planted his words and sayings in the human languages. These are like landmines in the vocabulary which bring death to those who partake. That's death by degrees. It may be little at a time, but it works to that end, death and destruction. If someone drank a little poison each day, the results may not show up right away, but over a period of time, it'll start taking its toll. Here are some words of wisdom from the scriptures. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." You know, this would be a great daily prayer for every human being. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." You know, that could help us think before we speak, and I'm sure save us from a lot of trouble. Here's another verse that'll help us know, you know, what the seriousness of our word choices are. The Word of God says in Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." The Amplified Bible says, "For every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak." Since we see that we're accountable for every word that we say, let's trim off the excess waste from our speech, thereby hopefully streamlining our lives into a better heavenly flow. You know, it can be helpful to have a spouse or a friend team up with us to agree to help each other to speak right and correct us when we mess up, because, you know, sometimes people are so ingrained in their speech they don't even know they're making a mistake. But, you know, we really have to be loving and kind and teachable when we do this, because sometimes it's kind of hard and uncomfortable to correct it a lot, especially at the first one we're making so many mistakes. But if we'll be kind and loving, and we'll make it through this, and we'll be grateful for all the help later on. I'm going to tell you some of these landmines that are in the languages, and this is not an all-inclusive list. I'm sure there are many more. This isn't to make anybody feel bad or ashamed. Just like any sin or mistake that we do, we admit it, repent, and quit it. Glad for the improvement. How about this one? Some people say they're dying to go. They're dying to try this, dying to try that. You know, we need to get death out of our speech. The Lord told a great man of God one time, he said, "I told my people they can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have." Let me say that again. "I told my people they can have what they say, but they keep saying what they have." You know, we need to say what we want, not what we don't want. In other words, speak the answer, not the problem. Here are some other ones people say, "Oh, my feet are killing me." In reality, it's their mouths. You know, some people say, "Oh, they thought they'd lose their mind. Oh, that makes them mad. That drives them crazy." You know, people do not need to speak these words to do damage to their minds. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "We have the mind of Christ." Here's one that I'll just put it out there. You never know. Why would anybody ever want to say you never know? When a person is saved, they have the Holy Spirit inside them, the one who knows everything and can get that information to us. Can you imagine an angel come up to another angel saying, "The Father in heaven wants your human to have this information. Why aren't you getting it to them?" And the angel says, "I want to, but they keep saying you never know. It blocks me from helping them." You know, there is a scripture that says, don't frustrate your angels. So beware with your words. Some people say, "Oh, that makes me sick. I think I'm getting sick. Thought I was going to have a heart attack." You know, people need to stop saying words like this. You know, you don't want to give the enemy a foothold in your health. These words are meant to do you harm. Instead, say, if you're feeling symptoms coming on, say something like 1 Peter 2:24, "By whose stripes you were healed. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed." You know, sometimes the words that a person says can bring harm to others also, not just themselves. I know a man of God that talked about he was in a healing line praying for people one time, and a little boy come up before him. The little boy was cross-eyed, so he laid his hands on him and prayed for him, and God healed that boy. His eyes went straight right before his very eyes, and without thinking, he said, "I can't believe it." And the little boy's eyes went straight back to being crossed. You know, these words, "I can't believe it, that's unbelievable," these must be straight from hell. Mark 9:23 says, "All things are possible to him that believes." Luke 8:50 says, "Only believe." What damage is a person doing in their spirit by saying those terrible words? Are they shutting off their believing switch inside them by speaking them? This is dangerous. James 1:26 says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." You don't want to deceive your own heart with these idle words. You're designed to, by God, to believe every word you say. Then the good word of God that you speak produces faith and gives you victory for the situation you're facing. Don't speak wrong words to shut down faith production in your heart. We don't want to let the enemy bind us up or snare us with wrong words. Other wrong words, some people say, oh, it's a pain in the neck or some other part of their body. If you don't want a pain there, don't call for it. Now, some of these may seem to be minor or petty, but they're not. Wrong words are wrong words, even if they're seemingly small. People talk about loving things. Well, oh, I love my house. I love my car. Oh, I love that spaghetti. I love that food. I love this. I love that. You know, the Bible talks about love. It says we need to love God, people, and good. About things, it says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's like one man said, you know, God doesn't mind you having things. He just doesn't want things to have you, which would be like greed or covetousness, which has gone too far. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17b that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. He loves us. He wants to bless us with good things. He wants us to like them, enjoy them. Just don't love them. Don't get a wrong attachment on it. Love people, God, and good. Speak the right words concerning love, for God is love. Don't cause any confusion down in your spirit with speaking love about wrong things. Here's another bad one. I swear. Sometimes people say, oh, I swear, and then they say something that's really silly or ridiculous. This is not good. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. Did you notice he said above all things? That must be pretty important if he says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. Neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. James 5:37 in the Amplified Version says, let your yes be simply yes and your no be simply no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. People are responsible to fulfill what they say. Deuteronomy 23:21 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. This is serious stuff. When people make a vow, oath, or swear, they're binding themselves to those words, so they have to fulfill them. So if you put some words out there, you better fulfill them. Either that or don't say those words at all. Be selective with your speech. You may say, but I'm not saying that to God. I'm not doing it to him. Look, if you're a child of God and you are his representative here, you have power when what you say, for what you say, good or bad, you're responsible for what you say. And if you're not a child of God, you're in worse shape, but you can change that by receiving Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You know, we need to realize God said in Jeremiah 1:12 that he's watching over his word to perform it. In other words, God is waiting for us to speak his word so he can fulfill it, so he can do it. We allow him access when we speak his word. Unfortunately, the enemy is waiting for people to speak his word so he can fulfill them. People give the devil access or place. Remember, the Bible says give the devil no place. People give the devil access or place when they speak his words or partake of any of his stuff that belonged to him. Fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, unbelief. Don't be caught with these in your possession. Other bad word examples. People talk death about their mind, their body, their health, aging. It is not cute or funny to make funny little jokes about loss of your memory, problems with your age or your health. It's not funny to speak words that further damage you. Speak the word of God. If you know if you have a problem remembering a little bit, start speaking what the word says. Say, thank you, Lord, I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, the memory of the just is blessed. Thank you, Lord, you restore my soul, which is my mind, will, and emotions. I'm restored. Thank you, Lord, I don't have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Speak the word of God. Bring life to your situation. Some people say, oh, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. We need to get the fear out. Do you know that fear is perverted faith? So it becomes faith in the enemy to harm you. Matthew 25:32-46 talks about separation of the sheep and goats. This is the Lord separating them. Excuse me. The sheep he separated got to inherit the kingdom of eternal life. They did good. The goats got everlasting punishment. They didn't do so well. Baby sheep are lambs, baby goats are kids. I suggest calling our children, not kids. Let's not put an ungodly tag on them. Here's another one that probably should be, people should stop saying, isn't he a ham? I would also suggest not putting this on anyone either. In Genesis, Ham did something evil that brought a curse on his family. Other words to eliminate, I don't know, I forgot, I don't remember, I can't hear you. Find replacements for these words, you know. Two other words that you might want to stop saying are luck and lucky. You know, from what I understand, luck can be traced back to Lucifer. They both do start with L-U-C. Think of other words to replace these words. Here's a bad example of something to say. Oh, I just can't see. I could never imagine it. I can't imagine that. I know a man of God that was in Hawaii, and he looked at this beautiful, beautiful mansion on a beautiful cliff by the beautiful ocean on this beautiful Hawaiian island. Oh, it all just looked so great. And he said, oh, I could never imagine having a place like that. And the Lord spoke up inside and said, well, don't worry, son, you never will. And it bothered him. He said, well, Lord, why'd you say that? He said, because if you can't imagine it, you won't be able to have it. You see, imagination is a powerful, powerful gift given to us by God that works with our hope and faith to bring good things into our lives. Don't short-circuit that with wrong words. Oh, that just blows my mind. That just blows me away. These are some more bad examples. I know a minister, she told the story about hearing another minister talk about how God had convinced him to quit saying, oh, that just blows me away. And when she heard him speaking, she decided, you know, I believe the Lord wants me to quit saying that too. So she did. I think it was within the next year. It wasn't a long period of time. This family was having a convention down in Lakeland, Florida at a big convention center. And they didn't know it, but a tornado kind of started out of nowhere and headed straight toward the convention center. I wonder where that was from. And as this lady was preaching, she looked down at her notes in her Bible, and water was dripping on her Bible and her notes. She looked up, and the tornado had ripped big sheets of metal off the roof and threw them into the parking lot. It was starting to tear that place apart. Well, she rebuked that storm, commanded to cease in the name of Jesus, and the tornado stopped. And they found out later there's a big door they call, I believe it's an elephant door. Maybe a huge door over the side there that if you open it up, semis can drive in and out of the convention center and unload and load big items. Every hinge in that big elephant door was broken except for one bolt on one hinge. If this person would have possibly kept saying that blows me away and that last hinge would have went forth and broke, that door could have got sucked up through that hole in the roof, taking this person with her. So if you live anywhere near tornadoes or high winds, you might want to consider not saying that anymore. Under the circumstances, we're not under the circumstances, we're called to be overcomers. Don't call diseases or problems yours, or health problems yours. We're redeemed from the curse. Those who are under the curse, don't take ownership of them by saying they're yours. That's like signing for them. Don't take the thought saying, Jesus said. If the thought's not from God and it's bad, don't say it. The word incredible, a lot of people use it often. Webster's Dictionary says that incredible means beyond belief. Here's another word that attacks people's believing. Another dictionary says not credible, impossible to believe, unbelievable. Again, I say these are words that we don't need in our mouths that could short-circuit our believing or faith. You know, if you said to your pastor, oh, pastor, that was an incredible message you just preached. Looking at these definitions, you didn't really compliment him. James 3, 1 through 5, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, because we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble on many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they seem so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, our tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. We don't want to kindle a fire for bad that burns up and destroys the force of God's blessings in our lives. If we put God's word first place in our life, it'll help us always stay on the life side of things. Never go crosswise with God and His Word. Faith speaks the end victory before the battle, as David said in 1 Samuel 17. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Remember, words set spiritual laws in motion. You can have what you say, good or bad. Get death and life out of your speech. We make a choice of life or death by what we say. You know, if a person uses words of complaining and doubt, it'll defeat them. Some say that to complain, it means to remain. If you don't want to remain in a bad situation, don't complain. Praise your way out like Paul and Silas did in that prison that night. There was a great victory was won by praise. Here are some more words of wisdom from Proverbs. These are words about words and our mouths. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 4:5 through 9, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. These treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in the Word of God. These are living words of life. Proverbs 4:20 through 22, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. Proverbs 5:1 through 4, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion, that your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smooth as oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your own mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6:12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Proverbs 6:17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. These are some of the things the Lord hates. Also he hates in Proverbs 6:19, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And I believe you sow discord with words. Proverbs 7:4, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin. Proverbs 7:21, with her enticing speech she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips she seduced him. Wisdom says in Proverbs 8:7, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is abomination to my lips. Proverbs 9:8 and 9, do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be wiser still. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 10:20 and 21, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You know, these are wonderful, encouraging words from the Word of God. And there are many more encouraging words from the Word of God, from the book of Proverbs, from the book of James, all throughout the Bible. God gave us everything that we need to be overcomers through Jesus and his Word, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember to keep your mouth in line with the Word of God, not the world. Speak life to your life and situations. Always choose life instead of death. Win the battle in your mind, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, then it'll be easier to win the battle with our mouths as we speak faith, life, and victory. We'll be becoming more like Jesus in the process. Ask the Lord to help you, you know, if you need help. He would be delighted to. He loves you so much. Remember, keep the switch of faith turned on. Speak faith.
Yes, victory is mine. Hi, this is Pastor Rick Smell. Thanks, Mick, for the wonderful message on the words of our mouth. Very important. We'd like to invite you to come and visit us at New Life Church. We're located on 31 and 50 North, just northwest of Rochester. Our times of services are 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday evening. Come visit New Life Church, where Jesus is Lord. The Lord bless your day.